Columbia, roll along, roll on, Columbia, roll on. Your power is turning our darkness to dawn. So roll on, Columbia, roll on.
Hello and welcome to Capital Ideas. This is where we sit down with members of the Majority Democratic Caucus in the Washington State House of Representatives to give listeners an inside look at important aspects of how their citizen legislature works and who and what it's working for. Today we'll talk with Speaker Pro Tem Jim Moeller. Representative Moeller has been a member of the House for better than a decade and was elected Speaker Pro Tem by his fellow Democrats 4 years ago. Jim wields the gavel at least 90% of the time that the House members are actually in the chamber debating legislation. In addition to presiding over the House floor sessions, the Speaker Pro Tem represents the constituents of Washington's 49th Legislative District in Southwest Washington, America's Vancouver. Mr. Speaker, welcome to Capital Ideas.
Thank you, Dan.
One of the things I like to do with these interviews is help people gain a little better understanding of terms that they might hear on the news but rarely come across in real life. Speaker pro tem is a term like that. What does that mean?
Well, it's Latin, Dan. It literally means temporary speaker, and that's what I am. I am the, they call me Mr. Speaker, but the plate in front of me says Frank Chop, who is the actual speaker. So I stand in for him. I am the temporary speaker.
And so you preside over House sessions.
I do.
A lot of people who might watch on TVW or see an occasional newscast see you up there at the podium. They see you doing all kinds of things that are sort of arcane and really indecipherable. What goes on up there at the podium during a floor session?
Well, there's actually a lot of work that happens because there's a lot of paper that transfers from hand to hand. Not only does the clerk read the bill, and I say last line so that we don't have to read the entire bill, but then there's some parliamentary procedures that bring the bill forward, that bump it to a third reading because every bill is read at least three times. The first reading, of course, goes to the committees. The second reading is on the floor calendar before us. And the third reading is really final passage.
And that term reading is symbolic, really.
Yes. We cut that whole process short by saying last line.
How do you prepare to stand in front of the House for a day and do your job? For example, do you read each bill? Do you read a summary of the bills? Or do you know which bills are sort of the major bills for a given session?
I pay pretty close attention in caucus. The bills that are coming forward, I listen to the chairs discuss the bill or the co-chairs discuss the bill. I listen to the amendments. I know the pros and cons generally. I may not know the specific number because there are literally hundreds of bills that we pass, both the Senate and the House. But I know what the bill entails, what the amendments will be on the floor and in the committee.
People who watch will see that you've got a computer screen in front of you.
Sure.
What's on that computer screen?
What's in front of me is a layout of the floor in front of me, with the listing of every member's name and their district number.
As soon as someone pops up on the floor to speak, you seem to be Johnny on the spot with their name and district number.
Well, I'm lucky in a lot of ways because many of the people who pop up are frequent flyers. And you learn their names and you learn their districts. However, there are some people who don't speak as frequently or as often, and that's where that listing will come in handy. I do have, you know, when I was first Deputy Speaker Pro Tem, I had a number of flashcards that I made up myself with the name on one side and their legislative district on the other. So I would know their names and I would know their legislative districts. But at 98 members, it becomes almost impossible because they're so frequently changing also. I mean, we had a 20% change just this last election.
Getting back to that computer screen now for a moment, when you're introducing action on a bill, there are certain things that you seem to repeat from rote. I think a person would say, how does he do that? Is that something that you're able to read there in front of you?
No, that's not usually on the screen. That's something that you'd kind of learn to do. It's a script that's based on a parliamentary procedure that's probably been in place since the place opened, in 1889.
There are several people that sit around the podium, but it seems like when you stop to have conversations up there with a couple of the staff members. It tends to be the caucus council and the chief clerk. What are you guys talking about when you're having these huddles up on the podium?
Well, mostly it's about the behavior on the floor. Sometimes people will stand up and they'll say, point of order, Mr. Speaker, and they'll raise a point of order about what's actually transpiring on the floor during the debate on a bill. Often, what we'll do is I'll take a brief break and I'll confer with the parliamentarian who is beside me and the minority leader and the chief clerk, who is also an attorney who's up at the rostrum, and probably the majority floor leader. And we'll all talk about what's actually happening before we come back into session or back on the mic. And so we try to work it out. People being people, they get angry or they get happy or they get sad, and we try to accommodate that.
Every lawmaker who stands up on the House floor to debate a bill addresses their comments to you. These people are talking to you, they're complaining to you, they may be praising a bill, but just as often they're going to be telling you why a piece of legislation is terrible. You seem to be very calm and unruffled throughout this process. Are there times, just between you and me, when you would like to just wander down onto the House floor with the gavel in your hand and have a little meeting with someone?
Well, sometimes you have an inside voice and you have an outside voice. And although people will support a bill or oppose a bill, the job of the speaker is to do what the body wants. If the body, the majority of the body, wants to move a bill forward, then it will move that bill forward. Also, when people focus their comments to me, it's a parliamentary procedure, because if they were focusing their comments to other members on the floor, you would be inflaming the debate rather than engendering it. And so by being the focus of comments, you actually put another person in between the two people who might be actually debating the bill. I end up as being sort of a third party, we might say.
Let's talk about another role that you have here in the legislature. In addition to being the Speaker pro tem, you're also an elected representative of the people of Washington State's 49th Legislative District. How do you go about balancing your duties as an individual legislator with 133,000 constituents to answer to, and also being the Speaker pro tem?
I have to sort of raise my hand and say, I have some bills too. So they'll have my replacement come up, my deputy, who will take the rostrum for a period of time. And she does just an absolutely astounding job. And so I'll be able to be the representative from the 49th America's Vancouver again. And I represent those people, and I have to give voice to them. Now, specifically, we have some big items in the 49th district. One of them happens to be the Columbia River Crossing. Advocating for that is a big job, and it's a good thing that I've got a seatmate, Sharon Wiley, who helps me do that, and a senator on the other side of the rotunda, Senator Annette Cleveland, who helps me do that also. And without their assistance, this would be a much more difficult job.
In addition to the work you've been doing on the Columbia River Crossing, you also have been doing some really heavy lifting for a while on a bill that would essentially help out what I call heritage theaters in smaller communities, mostly around Washington, but not all. Can you talk a little bit about that bill and some of the progress that you've made and some of the headaches you've had?
This was originally brought to me by the owners of the Kiggins in downtown Vancouver. Just about every city in the state of Washington has these old theaters in its downtown cores. Some of them have been converted into other uses, but for the most part, they've struggled along showing second-run movies because they're old screens, they're single-screen theaters. They don't have all the amenities that the big multiplexes have today, and they struggle with a business plan. And my particular theater was struggling to compete against something called McMiniman's, which was a great big chain of theaters in the Portland area that was able to buy these old historic theaters and convert them and have pubs and sell sandwiches and all sorts of things in addition to showing the movies. My theater couldn't compete because they don't have a kitchen and they can't sell beer or wine and have people take it to their seats. So they came to me and they said, is there any way that we can adjust this license that we've got to include theaters? And I said, well, why not? So over the course of a couple of years, the State Liquor Control Board went down to Oregon and interviewed what Oregon was doing, because it seemed to be successful there. They had an alcohol plan to keep alcohol out of the hands of minors. They had different kinds of venues. Not only was it movies, but it was also theater and music and art and dancing and so forth. So there was all sorts of different ways that they could compete and develop their business style. I thought this was great. And so that's what we put together with this bill, was a way for our local historic downtown theaters to compete with some of the bigger people across the river. What surprised me was that this was a common situation throughout the state of Washington, that these small historic theaters were struggling in downtown cores. Many of them stayed derelict for years, abandoned or looking for an owner. And this has breathed new life into them and to their downtown cores.
Let me ask you about one more specific bill, and that is a bill that you've got that would help property taxpayers who are having a hard time meeting their due date.
This was also another constituent bill brought to me by an old friend who has a small business, a dance studio. He said, "Jim, I would gladly pay my taxes. I just can't come up with it all at once. I can do it on a monthly basis, but we just can't come up with what we're behind on all at one time or twice a year." And I thought, well, gosh, you know, we have taken electronic payments on our taxes. What if this was permissive and it was able for the treasurer to have a program where people could pay on a monthly basis what their tax bill is, rather than all at once or twice a year? And that seemed to be a hit. I wasn't the only one thinking about that. There was some senators who had some concerns, and so we worked together to come up with a bill that would satisfy the county treasurers and still keep our taxing authority there and still allow people to catch up. I think it's going to get out of the House and the Senate and onto the governor's desk.
Before we wrap it up here, I want to see, is there anything that we haven't talked about that you might like to mention?
I certainly would like to say that it's been my honor, actually, to be here for the last 11 years. I think I have the best seat in the House. And I get to watch the debate, even though some of it may not be as spontaneous as some of the debates that happen at our town halls. They are debates nonetheless about bills that are important, because every single bill is important to somebody somewhere.
Thank you very much. We've been speaking with Speaker Pro Tem Jim Mueller, representative from Washington State's 49th Legislative District. That's today's program. Subscribe to this podcast now and spend a few minutes a week with Capital Ideas. After all, this is your state government, and the more you know about how it works, the better it can work for you. I'm Dan Frizzell for the Washington State House Democrats. Thank you for listening.